Thank you and good morning. Welcome to our program. The questions I want to address on our program today are, how should Christians view civil government? What are the Christians' responsibilities to civil authorities? We all live under civil government, and we need to know what God expects of us in relation to these authorities. What does the Bible say? Well, this is the focus of our lesson today. Well, first of all, the Bible teaches that God ordained civil government, and He ordained it for a purpose. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Now notice, civil authorities are ordained by God. As we continue to read in this passage, we see that the civil authority is God's minister. Look at verses 3 and 4. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." Now this passage not only teaches that God ordained civil authorities, but that God ordained them for a purpose. They were ordained for our good. They were ordained by God to keep law and order and to promote the security and well-being of its citizens. Where there is no government authority, human life and property are unsafe. Paul says here that civil authorities are ordained for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verses 13 and 14, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." Can you imagine living in a society where there is no law and order, where evildoers are allowed to freely practice their carnage on the good people of that society without any restraint? God ordained the civil authorities to keep that from happening. He ordained them for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. We're told in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." One thing this passage tells us is that civil rulers are to rule in such a way that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That is a purpose for which they were ordained. And we're told here to pray for our rulers that this may be accomplished. You know, someone might say, "But some of the civil authorities are evil, and the civil authorities themselves pervert justice by acquitting the evildoer and punishing those who do good." Well, this is true. That happens in some governments. There are some civil authorities who abuse their authority. But that doesn't change the fact that God instituted civil government for our good. Abusers do not diminish the value of the institution. You know, God ordained the institution of marriage for our good. Well, abusers in a marriage does not diminish the value of that institution. God ordained the church for our good. Well, evil members do not diminish the value of His church. And just because there are evil rulers does not mean that civil government itself is evil. No, God ordains civil authorities for a good purpose, and we are to pray for our rulers that that purpose may be accomplished. Well, what are the Christians' responsibilities to civil government? Well, first of all, we are to submit to the governing authorities. Look again at Romans 13. In verses 1 and 2 it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Also in 1 Peter 2, verses 13 and 14, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And so we are to submit to the civil authorities. If the civil government sets the speed limit at 70 miles per hour, then we must submit. And these passages do not make a distinction between fair and unfair laws. I may think it is unfair for the government to make me wear seat belts, but I must submit. I may pay more taxes than you do, and I think that's unfair. Well, I still must submit. And it is also interesting that in these passages, the Lord does not make a distinction between evil rulers and good rulers. At the time these passages were written, the Roman government was full of evil kings and governors, but they still were told to submit. Even though our rulers are evil, we must be subject to them. The only time we do not submit is when submission brings us in conflict with God's law. If civil government made a law that in obeying that law we would be disobeying God, then we should not submit to that law. In such cases, we must say, as Peter and the apostles did in Acts 5 and verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. You see, the apostles had been commanded by the Jewish leaders not to preach in the name of Jesus. But Jesus had commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Mark 16, verse 15. Well, who were they to obey? Well, they said, we must obey God rather than men. In Daniel chapter 3, when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon ordered the people to fall down and worship his gold image, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not. Nebuchadnezzar then said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And notice what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Also in the first century, when Christians were required to worship the Emperor of Rome, many refused to obey and they were persecuted. You know, there are those in the United States of America today who are being forced by governmental officials to bake cakes or provide flower arrangements for same-sex wedding ceremonies. And if they do not, then they will lose their business. In Romans chapter 1, the practice of homosexuality is listed among the sins of the Gentiles, those who refuse to acknowledge the true God. And after Paul lists their sins, he then says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Not only is it wrong to engage in these sins, but it is also wrong to approve those who practice them. It is wrong for Christians to condone same-sex unions by assisting them in their sin. And so, when our government orders us to assist people in their evil practices, we must say as the apostles did, we must obey God rather than men. Yes, we are to submit to the civil authorities, but never if by submitting we are disobeying God. And then secondly, the Bible teaches that we are to honor our rulers. Romans 13, verse 7 says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. 1 Peter 2, verse 17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so we must respect our rulers. We must show respect by how we speak to them and how we speak of them. Now, this is not to say that it is wrong to disagree with them or that we should not try to correct them when they are wrong. You know, there are examples in Scripture where God's people tried to correct their rulers when they did what was wrong. John the Baptist told Herod that his marriage with his brother's wife was not right. Matthew 14, verses 3 and 4. Nathan, the prophet of God, confronted King David with his sins, recorded in 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 12. In Acts 24, verses 24 and 25, we read of Paul speaking to Felix, the governor, trying to bring him to repentance. But in our efforts to persuade our rulers to do the right thing, we must be respectful and honor them because of the positions they hold. And then thirdly, we must pay our taxes. In Romans 13, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's minister attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." In Matthew chapter 22, we read of Pharisees who were plotting how they might entangle Jesus with His words. Well, in an effort to do that, they sent certain ones to Jesus and asked Him this question: "Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Well, it goes on to say, "But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, 'Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money.' So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, 'Whose image and inscription is this?' They said to him, 'Caesar's.' And he said to them, 'Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way." That's Matthew 22, verses 15 through 21. You know, I may think that the taxes are too high and that we shouldn't have to pay that much. Well, that may be true, but our Lord says, pay your taxes. And then fourthly, we are to pray for our rulers. We read earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 through 4. James says in James 5 and verse 16, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." There is power in prayer. If we are concerned about where our nation is headed, then we need to be praying and praying fervently. Well, what are we to do toward our governmental officials? Well, we are to submit, unless submission brings us in conflict with God's law. We are to pay our taxes. We are to honor our rulers, and we're to pray for them. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. But before we close, I want to announce a special series of meetings that will be conducted by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Mark on your calendar March the 29th through April the 3rd. My son, Grady Huggins, who works with the Kirkwood Church of Christ in Kirkwood, Missouri, will be with us and will present lessons on the theme, "Why Do We Believe?" In these lessons, he will be presenting evidences for our faith in God, in Christ, and in the Bible. Now that's March the 29th through April the 3rd. On Sunday, we will meet at our regular times, and then Monday through Friday of that week, we will meet at 7 o'clock each evening. So come and be with us. Now our church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect.